Have you ever carefully hidden something and then couldn't remember where? The same may be true for some Bible verses we memorized. This is Tim McKenzie with On Every Word Ministries, and I'd like to invite you to invest just a few minutes together looking at why and how to enjoy effective scripture memory that glorifies God, deepens your spiritual life, and hopefully prevents frequent trips to the lost and found. It's like the psalmist said in Psalm 119:16, "I shall delight in thy statutes, and I shall not forget thy word." You know, the Word of God contains 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. It was written over a 1,500-year span as God breathed His Word into 40 different writers from every walk of life, kings and shepherds, fishermen and scholars, a tax collector and a doctor, in dungeons and prisons, in palaces and in exile, in peace and in war, on three different continents in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, on hundreds of controversial subjects, and yet has an undeniable unity and continuity as if written by one author, which indeed it was. It survived wars and critics and persecution to be translated into over 2,000 languages. It's like Ravi Zacharias said, "Violating God's word only ends up proving it, not destroying it, and those who have tried to bury it find the Bible always rises up to outlive her pallbearers." It's been read by more people than any other book, and no other publication even comes close to the number of copies in circulation. Now, while most Americans have three copies of it in their homes, less than 40% of us ever open it. You know, it'd take the average reader only 75 hours, that's about 3 days, to read completely through it, even though, survey says, only about 15% of us have. Yet over a 70-year lifespan, we spend about 20 years sleeping, 20 years working, 6 years eating, 4 years watching television, and 4 years on the phone, depending on your calling plan. You know what they say, familiarity breeds contempt, or may I add, at least complacency. But you know what the good news is? The good news is that it's never too late to start. Now, take me for example. You know, I can remember back in about 1982, I'd only known the Lord for about 3 years, and my wife and I were teachers in high school ministry in First Baptist Church in Houston, and we attended our first lock-in. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like, you know, where all the high school students come in and they lock in overnight in the gym there at the church, and we have all these fun and games, and you know, in the midst of all this fun, the high school pastor there asked everybody to come up front and pile their Bibles up in this big pile and symbolically burn them. And we were told to imagine that it was now illegal to own a Bible or possess any form of scripture. And so now in our first official underground meeting as Christ followers, we face this daunting task of like recreating as much of the scriptures verbatim that we could from memory. Now, unfortunately, after about a half hour of like weeping and gnashing of teeth, you know, out of some 33,000 verses in the Word of God, our little fellowship of 300 students and staff and, yes, teachers had only managed to come up with about 30 verses from memory. And, you know, I did my best to lay low and kind of be a good cheerleader at time to divert attention from my shameful lack of any contribution. Now, you would think that this event would be sufficient motivation to nudge me into memorizing even a few verses. But, you know, God would need another occasion to do that. So it was about like a year later that I was at this men's fellowship at the church. And when unannounced, after the singing group had come and performed, this bearded, robed, disciple-looking guy took the stage and he began to quote scripture. And he talked for like 15, 20 minutes. And later I had learned that he had begun in Genesis and worked his way through every book of the Bible all the way to the Revelation, quoting at least one verse from each book as he traced redemption through the blood of Christ from Genesis to Revelation. So, as he concluded his message that night, I mean, all of us just sat there in awe. I mean, we were captivated by the sheer power of God's Word. And now the Lord finally had my attention. You know, I tracked down that bearded wonder in East Texas. His name was Bobby Joe. And he graciously came to Houston and met with me, and he talked to me and he motivated me. He began to encourage me to write the Word of God on my heart. You know, there's an ancient proverb that says something like, you know, how does a man take a 1,000-mile journey? And the answer is, one step at a time. And so the idea was that Bobby was telling me was just to catch the vision and then just do something. You know, memorize one verse a quarter, one verse a month, one verse a week, anything more than you're doing right now, Tim. And so that's what I really want to challenge you to do today, is just do something more than you're doing now. It's going to be a joyful quest that I hope you'll take with me one scripture at a time. You know, the psalmist says that your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. That comes from Psalm 119, 111. Before we get into the how-tos, I want to talk about the why. And there's really four overriding thoughts I want to get across to you. Now, the first one is that it's really not an option. Now, I'm going to read you some scriptures here, and if you'll notice as we go along, it's going to be really hard to keep these commands if the Word of God is not written in your heart. Okay? Now, the first one is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, when Moses says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Literally, "these words shall be deep within you." Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word I have treasured," literally hidden in my heart, "that I may not sin against thee." You know, James 1:21 says that we should receive the word implanted. And Colossians 3:16 says that we should let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. You know, Jesus told us in John 8:31 that we should let his words abide. Literally, that means to remain or continue inside of us. And Psalm 1:1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates." Did you get that? He meditates day and night. Now, I don't know how you're going to meditate and abide and richly dwell and be upon your heart and have this word hidden in your heart and implanted without it being hidden there, you know, without it being on your heart because you've memorized the Word of God, that you've taken the Word of God and made it your own internally. Now, I know this is really a challenge, especially this meditating part, because I know we live in like an ADD, an ADHD, you know, society. Now, I know those are real medical disorders. They need to be treated. They need to be dealt with. But in a larger cultural sense, we are so busy, you know, so distracted. You know, in fact, we're just cursed with so many choices, a lot of good choices. There's always so many voices calling out to us that we're living in a world of constant noise, and it's just so hard to get quiet and focused and just meditate. But that's the challenge. That's what the psalmist is telling us to do, to meditate on God's word. You know, you can see also, when are you still, quiet, and awake? Number two, it's what Jesus did. You know, if we take a look at Jesus' ministry, he repeatedly quoted verses from Scripture. He used the sword of the Spirit to defeat the devil. And I'm not sure how many of us could have gone one-on-one with Satan with all verses from the book of Deuteronomy, but Jesus did. And you know what I believe? I believe that Jesus memorized verses the same way you and I do, just one at a time. I don't believe for a second that Jesus went to sleep one night and God just divinely endowed them into his brain, okay? I believe he loved God's word. He listened to it being taught. He looked at that scripture and he made it his own by taking it deep within his heart, just like we're commanded to do. So, you know, as in all things, Jesus is our example, even in hiding the word where it can be found again. Now, the third thing I want you to realize is that it's out of this world. The word of God is just that. It's the word of God. Now, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says that all scripture is inspired by God. Literally, it's God-breathed. And it's profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In other words, it's not just a collection of human words that's been blessed by God, but these are words that when they're proclaimed, supernaturally impart faith. They change hearts, they transform minds, and they divinely empower. It's like Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." I believe that each word Each word of God spoken is inescapably endowed with faith because it is God-breathed. It's like Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Now, the fourth overriding principle I want you to understand is that it's all good. The Holy Spirit is given instant access through this hidden word in our hearts to encourage us, to help us resist temptation, to guide us, impart wisdom, and increase our faith, to make us fruitful, and to help us give an accurate testimony. You know, hiding the word in our hearts is an essential part of a spiritual life. It's going to deepen your relationship with God. It's going to help you become more like Jesus. It's going to help you speak a timely word and pray more effectively and delight in the Lord and just many, many other things. My calling and my heart's desire is to motivate you and to help you to hide God's word in your heart. So I invite you not only to use this audio workshop as a good tool, but also I want you to pay a visit to our website at oneveryword.com. and check out some of the resources we have there. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the how-tos of Scripture memory. The first thing that we've got to get straight is you've got to know the author. Now, I'm hoping everyone that's listening to this knows Jesus Christ, has trusted the Lord as their personal Savior. And that happens by opening your heart to the beauties of His Son and the power of His Word, saying yes by faith to His saving gift of grace offered through the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. And then after that's happened, you spend the rest of your earthly life getting to know Him better and making Him known. Make Him and His Word the passion of your life. It's like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, that he counts all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So know Him better, and make Him known. The second how-to point is to set your heart on it. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, "Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it." You know, if we set our heart on something, we pursue it. We long for it. We work tirelessly to get it. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says to discipline yourself. Some of us don't like that word, but there it is. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Look, bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Okay, there's no easy 1-2-3 formula. I know we live in a we want it and we want it now microwave culture, but you know what? It's going to take discipline. It's going to take some time, some perseverance, some hard work. But you know what? The fruit of your labor will be great as God honors your love of Him and of His Word. So set your heart on it. The third how-to point is, what's it worth to you? You know, what do you treasure? What do you value? You know, it seems like Jesus had something to say about your treasure and the location of your heart. Something about, you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See also Matthew 6, 19 through 21. You know what? Be careful that you fill your heart and mind with something of significance, something of value. Value the Word of God. Never forget what it costs God, His Son, His prophets, and His saints to put His Word in your hand. There's a verse in Amos chapter 8, verse 11 that says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for the hearing of the words of the Lord." Now, what would it be like to have no food? Can you imagine that? I mean, some of you may have been through that and experienced it. I haven't been through that for more than a day, probably. But when you think about it, how long could you go without food? And how far would you walk to get it if you were really in the midst of a famine? Now, what about the Word of God? We need to appreciate the Word as much as we do, no, more than we do our food. Jesus said in Matthew 4, 4, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And remember, the psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." The psalmist also said in Psalm 19, verses 10 and 11, that your word is more desirable, more precious than gold. Some of us think that we don't have room for a bunch of verses up there. If so, remember this, that a well-trained memory is one that permits you to forget anything that isn't worth remembering. Just like our homes, we store up a bunch of stuff we don't need. And applying that principle mentally ought to clean out some closets up there. So, what's it worth to you? How-to point number 4, return on investment. You know, most of us invest our money in something that we expect to get a return of investment on. Did you know that there's a return on investment from every investment you make in God's Word? Prayerfully ask God to help you and to bless your passion and your discipline. And look for spiritual dividends. Live expectantly. It's like the psalmist says in Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law." You know, I heard someone say the other day that if only we treated God's word the way we did our cell phones. Think about that. We don't leave home without it. We're very responsive to it. We're constantly getting messages from it. And we use it to keep up all our relationships. And we keep it close just in case of emergency. Think about a return on investment from the Word of God. How-to point number 5, be on target. Somebody said that if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. Well, if I have any secret for you today, if you've been waiting on one, this is it. Choose relevant verses, the most meaningful verses, the most applicable verses in your life first, so that you can see God honor your love for His Word almost immediately. Perhaps even an area you're struggling in right now. What would that be? Get personal. Pray about it. Now, why would I say that? Because it's going to be like 30 minutes after you start memorizing your first verse before God uses it in your life. No, life isn't all about you and me. But you know what? We are our own worst enemy sometimes. So start with yourself. And then God later on will use His word through you in the lives of others. There's a verse in 1 Samuel 3:19 that says, "Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fail." I looked that up in the Hebrew, that fail word, and it's literally, he let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, doesn't that paint a word picture? I mean, it's like, you ever been outside on like a cold day and you're talking with somebody and their words are coming out of their mouth and you see this fog coming out, and it's just a moment or two before that vapor disappears. That's so powerful imagery to me, that Samuel loved God's word so much that as God spoke His word, he didn't want any of His words to fall to the ground and be trampled upon, but he would grab them and take them inside of himself to his heart and mind, and he didn't want any of them to fail. I hope you'll do the same with God's word in your life. Now, use a concordance or get a good computer Bible program. Go to your Christian bookstore and buy a good topical Bible. Go out to our website, oneveryword.com, and find some resources that can help you identify verses in this particular area that God's really spoken to your heart that you need to concentrate on. And then get going. You know, set a reasonable goal. No excuses. And look here, just kick the tires on this, and I promise you, you're going to be hooked. But you know what? Start off by being on target. How-to point number 6, making it stick. You're going to have to make it memorable. You're going to have to make it sticky like duct tape. Jesus did just that with his parables. You know, he wanted people to walk away with truth with handles on it. You know what? So package it if you have to. If necessary, put it in themes or subjects. In other words, you may want to weave some verses back to back on anger or on lust or on holiness or encouragement or forgiveness, just whatever God's spoken to your heart that you need to really focus on. Now, I want to warn you, be sure to study and rightly divide the word so that you are careful not to twist scriptures or take them out of context. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Now also, memorize a good translation. I don't want you memorizing a paraphrase. Look, you can always downshift to a paraphrase when you need to if you're quoting it to somebody, because we all know that there's a time to, you know, do an exact quote word for word, and there's also a time to really, you know, back off a little bit and just kind of paraphrase something. So I want to challenge you to really go get you a good translation that you like and memorize it from that. So remember, make it stick. How-to point number 7, back to basics. I loved to build things when I was a boy, especially with Legos. You know, when John 1:1 talks about in the beginning was the Word, the Greek there for the Word is logos, and the root word of logos is Lego. Literally, Lego means to lay forth in words so that you build a complete thought. As in Christ, the Logos, capital L, the totality of divine expression, everything God had to say, He said in Jesus Christ. So think of your memory work as a Lego building project. Break that verse into bite-sized pieces and phrases and add on gradually, kind of like learning a foreign language. When I memorize, I put my verses on a CD, and I like to leave room in between those verses for me to quote them back before I hear it again correctly said. Today's computers make it really easy to record your own voice and then burn it on a CD or download it onto your MP3 player. I suggest that you repeat this exercise daily for 20 or 30 days. Then you can do it more infrequently after that. It just kind of depends on your ability to retain or recall the verses. But, you know, 20 or 30 days is a really good number for me. It's kind of like wet paint at first, and you have to keep up the repetition until the paint dries. You know, the stats are something like 60% of the world is basically illiterate. Now, we might be tempted to pity them, since in a literate culture, reading and writing are so essential. However, I've recently discovered that those who come from cultures with strong oral traditions possess skills that many of us so-called literate folks have lost. You see, according to my friends, that faith comes by hearing. When they take the Word of God on MP3 players to these people groups, they listen much more intently than we do, and they don't feel like they really own something till they've memorized it. You see, they don't have the luxury to look it up in a book later or go home and check it on the internet. And if they want to tell somebody else down the road what they've heard, then they're going to have to memorize it. Their strong oral culture and tradition is based on accurate memories and storytelling. Jesus ministered in such a culture, and the people had ears to hear. Perhaps we could learn a thing or two from them. Most of us have let these muscles atrophy. For those of us who have, these muscles will be a little sore, and they'll feel a little funny when you start to exercise them again. But hang in there. I promise they will become less painful with repeated use. So get back to the basics. How-to point number 8, make it a lifestyle. Look at the verse you're memorizing. Know what it means. Recognize the power it can have in your life. And then personalize it. Pray it back to God. Ask God to honor it, to bless it, and to use it in your life. This emotional, personal connection to the verse really helps it to be cemented in your heart and mind. And then listen to it, look at it, meditate on it, saturate your heart and mind with it, let it marinate. I know some of us are more visual learners and some of us are more auditory, but hearing it, reading it, saying it, and living it make a powerful combination, and they help the paint dry faster, trust me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall bind them with post-it notes and put them on screensavers and note cards and calendars and whatever else you need to keep them in front of your eyes and on your heart." Now, I might have substituted a few words in there, but I think you get the point. So talk about the word with your family and friends. And find someone who will listen to you speak the word aloud. Accountability is a powerful influencer, and there's nothing like going live. And finally, that verse number 9 says, "And you shall write them on the doorpost, on the door frames of your house and on your gates." That means that they're supposed to be visible to the outside world. So tell someone the good news that you've got on your heart now. We need to be talking about the Word in the course of our everyday lives. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." Proverbs 25:11 says, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." And finally, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." So let me repeat the point. Make it a lifestyle. How-to point number 9. Who's counting anyway? As Howard Hendricks says, there's no smaller package than a person wrapped up in themselves. So don't get all puffed up. Yes, I used to count my verses. But let the Lord be your reward. Do this for His glory and the advancement of His kingdom. Delight in Him, not in numbers. Boast in Him, not your accomplishments. So remember, who's counting anyway? How-to point number 10, run with endurance. So try me out on this, but please don't get discouraged or give up. That's exactly what the enemy would want. Take small but successful steps in the right direction, and then run with endurance. It's a discipline that will turn into a great joy as it becomes part of who you are. God will honor it, bless it, and use it to make you more like Jesus. So let the Word of God live and abide in you, and finish strong and run with endurance. Acts 20, verse 32 says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." I want to thank you today for listening and for your commitment to hide God's Word in your heart. Remember to visit the website at oneveryword.com for additional resources and help in memorizing God's Word. This is Tim McKenzie praying that God grant you success as you live on every word.